Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you've been out and about at a doctor's office or school, and you've probably been asked to fill out a questionnaire that asks, have you had prolonged exposure or been in close contact with anyone who's had COVID? Well, the answer to that is different today than it was last week. Today, the CDC announced a new guideline about that 15-minute COVID close contact rule. Previously, the CDC defined close contact as being within 6 feet of someone infected with COVID-19 for at least 15 minutes or more. The update now defines close contact as being within 6 feet of someone with the virus for a cumulative total of 15 minutes or more over a 24-hour period. There's just so much to consider as the cold weather approaches and we're going to be inside more, as some kids are physically back in school, plus there's holiday planning, and oh yeah, a contentious election as well. So when it comes to social norms in an abnormal time, we turn once again to Philip Galanis. He pens the Social Cues column in the New York Times Sunday Style section, and we're pleased to welcome him back to our show and a spin on our Ask an Expert series all about COVID-related etiquette quandaries. Welcome back, Philip.
Hey, Allison, how are you?
I'm well, thank you for asking. Hey, listeners, we want to hear your COVID-related etiquette conundrums. Are you starting to think about whether or not to travel to see family for the holidays? How about handling play dates while some kids are in school and others aren't? Are there any other COVID etiquette situations you're just not sure how to navigate? Give us a call, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. You can always tweet to us at @WNYC, or if you prefer to remain anonymous, you can leave us a message on Instagram using that same handle, @WNYC. Okay, we spoke to you a few months ago, and we had a really good conversation, Philip, about do's and don'ts and things to consider, and so much has changed since then. What's changed in terms of COVID etiquette that you think is really significant since we last spoke to you?
You know, this isn't just COVID-related, but this is what the last few months have taught me, because we've had years, some of us have had decades, to get really comfortable in our routine of doing things. And COVID has really asked us, it's demanded of us, that we change those things. And a lot of people who write to me think that manners or behaving well means always getting along, never disagreeing. But I'm starting to think it's actually just the opposite, that really the only point of good manners is to minimize that terrible feeling of friction that is inevitable with people that we love and people we like and people we dislike. So I'm now, since I had, I think, a cumulative effect of zero on persuading anyone to wear a mask if they didn't want to, or stay 6 feet back if they didn't think it was important, I'm now trying to focus my energy on communicating with people what I am comfortable with in a way that makes me feel good and can hopefully not alienate them. So that's how COVID's changed for me, because I think we've really reached, it's like the election. When people talk about undecided voters, I think, well, where have these people been? Who are these people? People aren't undecided about COVID protections at this point. They're on board or they're not on board, and there are some areas that are gray, and so the important thing is learning to talk it out without demeaning the other person or being condescending, and trying to keep their humanity in mind. At the same time, we're really expressing our beliefs and not putting ourselves in situations where we feel uncomfortable.
Since we last spoke, indoor dining has reopened in New York City at partial capacity, and people have very strong feelings about this one. Thinking about your new paradigm, how might you handle a dinner invitation to share a meal? Someone wants to be indoors, maybe they want to talk about something private. What is the best way to ask for the meal to take place outside without, to your point, making everybody uncomfortable.
Right. I, for one, am not comfortable eating indoors yet. And so we're still in that late fall moment of finding a way to say, you know, I really, starting with what the headline is, I really want to see you too.
Right.
And after you've expressed that you're both in this project together of wanting to see each other, but I'm not comfortable sitting indoors yet. Do you think there's a way we could do this outdoors or in a, you know, taking a walk through the park? Is there a way we could, you know, get a coffee and walk? Would that be, would that work for you? And I think when the other person hears that you're still trying, you've got all your gears spinning to try to make this date happen, then they're less likely to. I mean, I haven't had anyone feel offended, to my knowledge, when I play that script. But we've had years to work out how to have dinner dates with friends, and now it's upended. And if I'm shy about saying that I'm uncomfortable for COVID reasons, that other person might think, oh, Philip's not so into me, I guess, anymore, because he doesn't want to have dinner. So I think the most important thing to do is preserve the relationship and then express your totally reasonable feelings, which might be, yeah, I'm young and I don't have a single risk factor and I feel great about sitting in a restaurant with 25% capacity, or no, I don't feel comfortable. I could be that exact same person, but I still don't feel comfortable doing it. But the headline is, I want to see you.
My guest is Philip Galanis. He writes a social cues column for the Style section of the New York Times. We're talking about COVID etiquette situations that we're not sure how to navigate, or we're just figuring out or working our way through this navigation. If you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Let's go to Laura on line one. Laura, I'm in the middle of this issue myself. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I have a really interesting situation that came up. I'm applying for an insurance policy, and the insurance company says that a doctor, or it's actually a nurse, has to come to my house for a 40 to 60 minute interview. And I said, okay, that's fine, but we're going to meet outside. And she said, no, it must be inside. And she said, I'm a nurse, so, you know, I'm concerned as well about COVID. I said, well, my husband's at risk. And I believe the CDC says we shouldn't be spending that much time with someone outside our household in such close contact for that long. She went back to the insurance company. They won't let us do it outside. So right now the policy's on hold.
This is health insurance, not life insurance or any kind of thing like that.
It's long-term care.
Medical insurance. Yeah.
Yes.
That is extraordinary. I've never heard of a situation like that. And, I mean, the only advice that I can give you, because I would feel exactly the same as you, and I am quite sure that if you go to the CDC guidelines, you will see the CDC guidelines, you and me make three. Mm-hmm. So I think the best you can do is get on I'm going to send you to the hell of an 800 number and express your concern directly to a customer service person, because you can do it. You can do it outside. And if you can't do it outside and you can't do it in your, if you can't, and I really think that especially if you have a husband who's at serious risk of illness, you're not doing it in your apartment, then you're maybe going to the nurse's office where they have probably heightened protections to what you and I have in our homes. Like,
Lord.
I went to get a physical and I got a flu shot, and they had everyone there in masks and gowns, and there was one person in the office at a time, and the room was highly ventilated, and it worked out so that I only had mild freak out afterwards, but I got through it. And maybe your insurance company would has a plan C for you.
Yeah, Laura, I'm going to, when we get off this line, I'm going to ask one of the screeners to take your name and phone number, because maybe we can follow up with you about this, because this is a really interesting story. Laura, good luck
to you.
And
they wanted you to do this too, Allison? They wanted you to go have a nurse come to your home?
It was, you know, it's more of a house insurance thing. It wasn't a personal insurance thing, and they want to have someone come and be in my home and walk through, and I'm just not sure how I feel about that at this moment, especially if this person is going and walking through a lot of different homes. I'll be really frank. I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do yet, so it was very interesting to hear someone. I mean, I think poor Laura's situation is much more invasive, especially given her family. And Laura, we send out our good vibes to you. Hope that works out. Let's go. You know what? Ileana from New Rochelle is taking me to my next subject, which is kids, which is where people sometimes aren't reasonable, Philip, about their children.
Yeah.
Ileana's calling from New Rochelle.
Because the kids are like the most sacred ego place we have are our children. So you really injure people when there's any perceived slight. Let's hear it, Ileana.
Hi, Philip. Thanks for taking my call. So what I was finding is that obviously with the kids not being in school, my children were really craving play dates. And we tried play dates with some close friends that we have. And I found that it made the most sense and it worked the best when I would just say, hey, would you like to have a play date with masks outdoors? So just being really clear up front about what my expectations were versus saying, hey, do you want to have a play date, you know, tomorrow afternoon? And then everyone gets there and you realize, oh, maybe this parent doesn't want their child to wear a mask, or the child doesn't want to wear a mask. That kind of thing is what I was experiencing and I wanted to pass along.
Ileana, thank you so much.
That's a great idea. I mean, it's a great thing to talk it. I mean, we have to do a lot more talking it out these days than we used to have to do. And so good for you for doing it. It's a pain in the neck. I mean, how easy it used to be to text your friend and say, play date, Washington Square Park, 2:30. Now it's a whole discussion. And great for you for having the discussion.
I wanted to ask you about pods, because there have been these learning pods that have popped up for kids, and sometimes socialization pods, and the purpose of them is so that the kids can have some socialization. But for them to be successful is they have to be a closed loop.
Right.
Any idea on how to handle if a family approaches you and wants to be part of your pod?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want them to be part of your pod, or do you not want them to be part of your pod?
Well, I guess that's the first question, right? Ask oneself.
I have some friends who are in Montreal, and this is the way that their school has been going. Pods of six kids. And the six kids, the school spent some time trying to match the families, and kids got like a sort of ranked choice of, you know, and they thought it through, and the kids, but the point of those pods are, if another kid or another family asked you to be part of it, the default answer was no, unless you went to every other person in the pod. Because if you think about it, every other person in your pod is going to be affected by your decision to add this person who's asked you personally. So it's cumbersome, and it's really hard, but I can imagine situations where it would be really worth it, but I also can imagine that the bureaucratic nightmare of getting all the other families who are affected just comfortable and signed off would have a really chilling effect and make me rethink the whole desire.
My guest is Philip Galanis. He writes a social cues column in the Style section of the New York Times. We're talking about COVID quandaries. Let's go to Andrew, who is calling from, I believe, Montauk. He's on line two. We are going to start talking about the holidays with Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. It's actually Wantagh, not Montauk. I just wanted to thank you for having this conversation about these social intricacies of COVID-19, because not enough people are having this conversation. But I just wanted to share my story. I was debating whether or not to fly to Los Angeles for Thanksgiving or, you know, stay at home and not see some of my family members, see my sister and a few cousins. And I ultimately decided to travel to Los Angeles for Thanksgiving for a few reasons. One, because Delta is still not filling middle seats, so I felt a lot more comfortable doing that. And I've also seen that the flights have not been filling up in a lot of planes recently either. So with that, I felt a little bit more comfortable. I have an N95 mask, which also made me feel a little bit more comfortable. And I'm at a place in life right now where I don't have a job. So to quarantine when I get back from California, if I have to do that, is fine for me. So there are a lot of variables that are at play for a person to decide if they're going to travel for the holidays or not.
One of the big variables, Andrew, that I'm coming across in the in letters to the column is whether there's an elderly member mm-hmm. of your extended family who's going to be in Los Angeles when you get there. Is it mostly your sister and her her young family, or is it, I mean, are we talking about aunts and uncles and grandparents and that sort of thing? Because then go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say we're all single individuals, you know, with relatively low risk, all young, all healthy as far as we know it. So those are other things that we've kept in mind in making this decision. And I think absolutely if I had elderly family members or immunocompromised family members, the answer would just be no. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah. It's really hard because those people, and it's often the elder members of the family who are most insistent in the letters that I get about my greatest joy in life is having all of my young family around me. So it's especially heartbreaking that we have to say no to them because we want to protect them. And I know that it's, and that's the hardest, I mean, when you were talking earlier, Allison, about the kind of script for conversations, those are the hardest ones because it's someone who just really wants something badly and they're 85 years old and saying no to them in a way that they feel loved, and yet at the same time everybody's health is protected, it causes my readers a lot of difficulty. But boy, I really think having them live to the new year is a pretty important thing to aim for too.
I want to slide one more question in here, one more listener in, because her birthday is on Monday. Sharon is on line five, calling from Brooklyn. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Happy
there.
Birthday early.
You're sort of a Libra, but sort of a Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I live with my daughter and her husband and a three-year-old granddaughter who I am doing preschool with because I can't send her to preschool. Monday's my birthday, and I'm trying to pleasantly tell everybody, do not come near my house. And I told my daughter, you're just going to run interference, because if they start bringing gifts, you're going to head them off at the door with a mask on, and I'll wave, and they're not coming in my screen door. It's precarious, but I've just been hinting, but I've been listening to the circle, and a lot of my girlfriends haven't even taken a COVID test. And they're telling me they go here, they go there, they're doing, you know, online dating. I said, you know what? You guys will not be coming near me. Plus, I think I'm going to have a hip replacement. So you know you're not coming in my door.
Well, yeah. First of all, happy birthday. Good luck on the hip replacement.
Thank you.
And Philip, just give us a script. Telling your girlfriends who are maybe on a different page, you love them, but...
Yeah, I love you, but, and I really can't wait till we can all get together again safely. But as I'm getting ready for this hip replacement, I really have to stay safe. And that means, unfortunately, that we have to keep our distance this birthday. And I don't think, I know people will, I mean, this is the kind of thing that people will yell at me for saying afterwards. If you say something like this in advance, you do run the risk of, oh, she thinks she's all that. I wasn't going to even go by for her birthday. But I think it's better to be proactive about this and send a note to people who you think might, you think might drop by and say, I'm thinking about my birthday, I'm thinking about how much our friendship means, and I can't wait till I see you again safely, but unfortunately it can't be this year. And you haven't really, you've just expressed a really loving thought to somebody who might otherwise come by and make you sick. So, and they don't mean to, they are just living on a by a different set of rules than you. They're living on a by a different script. And so rather than trying to, rather than judging them or trying to persuade them that what they're doing is wrong, you're in a really loving way telling them what you need to do because it feels right to you. I hope that works.
Philip, I think you gave great advice and a little bit of therapy. So I appreciate that. I think we all needed to talk this out a little bit. Philip Galanis from the New York Times, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Bye, Allison.